Hello and welcome to the Trading College podcast, where we look to bring you some of the most thought-provoking ideas about trading and what you could do to improve your trading.
Hello everyone, welcome to the podcast. My name is Oshan and I'm the new support coach at Trading College. And in this episode, I'm going to be joined by Raj, who many of you who listen regularly will be familiar with, to discuss market correlations and why it's such an important subject in trading. And this is actually a topic that we've had quite a few questions about recently. And it's a question that the coaches in the live chat are asked about quite frequently. And I think it's a completely natural thing because most people, when they start to trade, they want to know more about how the markets actually work and what's going on behind. So although we may have our sort of technical strategies based on technical analysis, sometimes we also want to know sort of the more fundamental reasons behind why certain markets move the way they do. And although we might not trade this fundamental information without a technical strategy, it's just interesting to know more about the subject. So I think we should probably start by explaining exactly what we mean by market correlations. In my mind, it's looking at how different assets move in relation to each other. We will all have seen as traders that on a particular day that some Forex pairs tend to move quite similarly to each other, and so do some other assets. And so is this how you see market correlation, Raj?
Yeah, 100%. And Lona, first of all, I think, you know, it's good to see you doing a podcast finally, Oshan. How are you getting on? How are you finding it?
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. It's a great experience.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think when you're learning, obviously, about, you know, the markets and stuff, as you've gone through the course, I think that's a completely different thing about, instead of like learning how to be an actual coach. And, you know, they're two completely different things, aren't they?
Yeah.
But no, I'm super happy to be doing this. I mean, yeah, like you said, we've had a couple of questions about market correlations recently. A couple of people have entered a few trades, you know, like, especially with the yen pairs all moving together. And you know, I see it exactly how you said. I think if you are trading and you're looking at the way the markets are moving, especially at the moment, sometimes like a few markets that don't usually move together, like up or down, are all moving together at the same time based on an underlying theme. And like, how do you find out what that theme is? How do you know what that is? And I feel like that's so important, especially for the new traders.
Yeah, definitely. No, yeah, it's such an interesting topic. And I think maybe now is a good point to bring up why, even if we're sort of purely technical traders, why do we need to know about market correlations? Because for me, I see it more as being to doing with risk and sort of portfolio management. Because a lot of us will have sort of heard that phrase that you can have 9 out of 10 winning trades, but if you're not managing the risk properly, then that one losing trade could wipe out all the profits of the 9 others. But I think there's more to risk management than just position size, isn't there? It's because you don't want to trade more than a couple of correlated markets with the same strategy at the same time, because if they're correlated, it means that they could all move in the same way. So they could all win or lose.
Oh, 100%. I think that's the one of the best ways to describe it. Like, let's say, for example, you're a trader and you only trade the indices and you've already got a long position on the S&P 500. Sometimes if you're swing trading, what is the point of having an S&P 500 trade, a Dow trade, a Nikkei trade, a FTSE trade? Like, at the end of the day, if risk is good and risk sentiment is good, they're all going to move up together. And then also on the flip side, if they all do lose and there's one big kind of catastrophic event, they'll all lose together. So that, you're right, it doesn't show good risk management to do that. And obviously today in the podcast, we'll talk about why.
Yeah, definitely. And so how do you sort of manage correlation in your own trading and your own risk management?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of ways to do this. It obviously really does depend on the asset classes that you're trading. I mean, like, I trade equities and single stocks quite a lot. So normally, like, if, for example, I'm, you know, this is a very brief example, but if I'm trading like the automotive sector and I'm liking the look of the way a Volkswagen's chart is, or Ford or General Motors or something like that, I'll choose what I feel is the best looking chart with the best looking momentum. But it doesn't, just because they're all setting up on the same week or whatever, it doesn't mean I'm going to take them all. So what I'll do is I'll make sure that if I do take another stock trade, you know, not an index trade or an FX trade, another stock trade, I'll make sure it's in a completely different sector, like the energy sector or the tech sector. So first of all, like we can separate this. So we can talk about portfolio management and non-correlating trades in one specific asset class, like in equities, but then also you can do this in FX as well. So like, let's say, for example, you're really bullish on the pound, you could have trades, you know, on the pound, but it doesn't mean that you take GBP USD long, you know, Euro GBP short, GBP yen long. You know, you have to, you know, really mix up the trades, even within individual asset classes, as well as the broader themes in the markets. You know, I think knowing the difference between the two is important.
Yeah, definitely. And this is something that everybody listening will be able to hear that you're really knowledgeable about. And people might be interested to know where did you learn sort of about the subject? Is it something that people can pick up from looking at the charts themselves? Or is it something that you have to learn a bit away from the charts and then bring it to your trading?
Oh, 100%. I think it's in the charts. I think, like, fundamentally, there's some common sense here. Like, let's say, for example, oil is moving up. Okay, oil is getting really, really strong. The price of oil is going through the roof. Obviously, stocks like Shell, BP are going to go up with it. Okay, so that's the first thing. But then some things that people might not know are like things like the Russian ruble or the Canadian dollar are very linked to oil prices because they're oil producing nations, right?
Right.
So, you know, these are things you learn over time. So let's say, for example, you know, one day you're looking at all your charts and, you know, you're a new trader, you're going to see, maybe today, you know, because the price of, you know, oil's going up and the indices are going up together, it's just, you know, one particular day that it's happening. But if you start noticing this on the charts month after month after month on specific days, you're going to start to see the correlation in that. So it's only through the charts for me that you can find this out. I think one dodgy thing, though, at the moment, if I'm honest, Oshin, is the fact that correlations do change from time to time. That's a hard thing to get your head around because the market has things that, you know, like fashionable themes every so often. So right now, I think everybody knows the fashionable theme of, you know, the inflation trade and also, you know, them kind of raising interest rates at the same time. So because of that, we're seeing so much US dollar strength, you know, and, you know, for those of you who might be listening to this podcast, you know, in a long time, we're in the summer of 2022 right now. So then if we're looking at how that reflects and how that moves on later on as time goes on, we then see any asset class that's correlated to the US dollar becoming really weak, like gold. You know, so gold is the opposite of the dollar. When the dollar's strong, gold goes down. When gold is strong, the dollar goes down. So right now we're really seeing that in normal environments, gold is in the inflation trade. When inflation is high, everybody puts their money in gold long term. We're talking about through the centuries here and the last 50-100 years. But right now in this environment, the theme's changed because not only is inflation going up, they're raising interest rates as well, which means the dollar's going up. So that takes the shine off of gold a little bit. And unless you've been in the market for a while, it's going to be quite a hard thing to realize. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And so this sort of correlation, this is something that you can actually measure in a statistical way as well, isn't it? Is the actual measuring of it something that most retail traders need to be concerned about, or is it just enough to learn more about how and which markets in particular are correlated?
Yeah, I think if you are more mathematically inclined, right, and you do, like, you know, you're a C-type personality and you like your numbers and all of that kind of stuff, yes, I think on the charts, what I would be doing and what I have been doing is I kind of just go back through the years and see, okay, well, when inflation has been high, how much, you know, have certain asset classes moved higher? You know, because then you get a frame of reference. You get to see, well, cool, the last time, you know, we had this inflation trade, how much did copper move? How much did wheat move? How much did sugar move? And, you know, like, you just get to know the ebb and flow of of when this happens. Every situation is different. You know, we do need to know that. That's why we have averages. But it's a good thing to work out. But it, as a complete newbie, yeah, what I would be doing is I would be tracking every single day, and maybe if you're a swing trader, every single week, which asset classes are moving up together and which asset classes are moving down together, because then you're really going to start to learn why they move up together and why they move down together. It's really all in the chart, and you've got the measuring tool on the charting packages. You know, we've got the ruler tool on all of them, on TradingView, on Pro Real Time, on MetaTrader, which we all use. You know, you can just literally measure the amount of pips they're moving up and down together when they move together, and then you'll start to work it out slowly.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. And related to that, maybe something that anybody who's listening from outside Trading College might not know is that you particularly run sessions that are focused on swing trading in our live chat room. And in those sessions, a lot of what you're dealing with is stocks. Mm. So I thought maybe talking about correlation, we should maybe start off by talking about stocks and how they're correlated, because to me, it seems like they could be sort of a good gateway market to understanding correlation, because it might be a bit more obvious in that stocks that are in the same asset class are more likely to move in the same way, right?
100%. I think as well, you know, the first thing when talking about correlations in the market every single day is we used to have this saying where I used to work and multiple places where I've used to work is, are we risk on or are we risk off for the day? Okay. So if you've never heard that saying, you know, I'll explain it quickly. So risk on means, are stocks moving up on the day? Risk off means, are they moving down? So effectively, are you willing to take risk? If you're willing to take risk, you're going to buy stocks. Okay. So that's the saying. So straight away, if you wake up in the morning and you look at your charts and stocks are moving up, the first question you want to ask yourself is it a risk on day? Are stocks going to continue to move up for that day? Or has the move finished and are we going to move back down? That's the first question you want to ask yourself. And this is a very beginner's way to think. But it's so important, because if you've got a strong risk on day in Asia and a strong risk on day in Europe, what's the likelihood that it's going to be like that in the US or vice versa?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's such a simple thing, but it's really powerful. So then, like you said, you move on to the next point. Okay, we're having a risk on day today. You know, let me go over the charts and see which sector is moving the best. And if it's the energy sector, because oil's gone up, you know, that's the one for the day.
Yeah, definitely. And this is like with a lot of these sort of more basic sounding things, as you learn more about trading and you learn other complicated sort of factors and different strategies and things like that, it's easy to forget about the basics and just how important they are.
Yeah, it is. I mean, my favorite sector in general has always been the kind of commodities and mining sector, for this reason, because they're cyclical in nature. So like, for example, if you're a copper producer, you know, like Glencore or BHP Billiton or Anglo American, like one of these stocks, and the copper price isn't performing very well, you know, you know that those companies aren't going to perform very well. But let's just say, for example, you know, your technicals are now saying, okay, copper hasn't been performing well for a while and it's been moving down, but you're getting a new signal, like a momentum trigger, a new PTS or something like that going up. You then have got different asset classes to look at just because of the underlying asset. So if, for example, copper and iron ore start to move up, you then know, well, now it could be the right time to get into Glencore, or now it could be the right time to buy, you know, Anglo American or Rio Tinto or something like that. You know, that's why the commodity sector for me has been like one of my favorite ones to trade. And the same thing happened with oil and BP and Shell and, you know, and all of that. Nat Gas with National Grid, Centrica, you know, all of those companies. And this is a time where the markets, the general stock markets, have been really struggling. Some of the best trades have been in the commodities markets. Just purely by looking at these correlations, we've been able to work that out in our live trading room.
Yeah. And so talking about these moves in commodities and stocks, is the correlation and all these rules about correlation, is it as easy to relate to indices and Forex?
Yeah, I mean, it can, but you need to work them out. So let's say, for example, if we look at Aussie CAD, okay, so Aussie dollar, Canadian dollar. So in Australia, they produce a lot of raw materials like gold, copper, lithium, like metals. Okay. In Canada, they produce a lot of oil and energy products. So effectively, when you're trading Australian dollar versus Canadian dollar, what you're doing is you're trading the base metal sector against the energy sector. So even that starts to balance itself out. So yes, in indices and in Forex, it does start to do that. And then the other really good question in that, and the really important thing about thinking about there is the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc. So long term, really historically, that those two have been safe haven currencies. So the Swiss franc, because it's a tax haven, and it's also quite connected to the gold price, because it's where the biggest gold refineries in the world are. So whenever there was any problems in the stock markets, that's where people used to hide and hoard their money, was in Switzerland. Like everybody knows that historically, it's a everybody hides their money in Switzerland, right? So then that's the first one that became a safe haven FX correlation. And then another one is the Japanese yen. Japanese yen is a little bit different. In Japan, their society is not like the West historically. It could have changed now. It might be different now, but in FX, it hasn't changed. So they're essentially savers. They're not as frivolous with their money like people are in the West. Again, I'm being super generalistic here, but they're kind of taught to save more than where we have a consumer culture in the UK and in America, where in Japan it wasn't necessarily like that, right? So over time, their markets were more correlated to the bond markets. So as soon as stocks used to sell off, we used to see dollar yen move. We used to see some money move into the yen. So that was always why the yen was a safe haven, and obviously the Swiss franc was a safe haven. Now, in the most recent times, we've seen dollar yen move up. Yeah, so the dollar's got stronger against the yen while the stock markets have moved down. So that correlation has been 100% broken. Okay, this is. This is what I mean by fashion and trends. The reason why it's been broken is not because that's not the case anymore. The reason why it's been broken is because the US markets, the US Central Bank, the Fed, are raising interest rates quicker than the Japanese Central Bank, the BOJ, the Bank of Japan. So what's happened is it's like an outside force that has changed this correlation. It's nothing to do with, whatever, but do you remember what you were saying at the beginning? It's like, can we find this out on the charts? And you can, because like now the stock markets are falling off, the yen's not getting any stronger. Dollar yen's hitting the roof. So the yen's really, really weak at the moment. So, that's how we can work it out. That's why the charts are more important than the fundamentals sometimes, because when things change, it's going to be the chart that tells you. It's not going to be the fundamentals. You know what I mean?
And these changes, are they something that tends to happen quite quickly or over a long period of time?
Their macro changes, they happen over a longer period of time because when the bank started printing money with QE and everything, that distorted what used to be all normal correlations because printing money is kind of like steroids. It's unnatural, like they shouldn't be. I can't say they shouldn't be doing that, but it's something that it wasn't traditional in times. Whereas now, manipulating markets and central banks printing money to save, certain markets, blah blah blah, even bailouts and things like that. Those are the things that never used to happen before. So these are the things that are getting factored in that make things change in terms of correlations. So like let's put this into perspective. Let's say you're trading dollar CAD, okay? And the oil was trading at, zero or minus numbers like it was a little while ago. The CAD's gonna suffer. But let's say the government in Canada thought, okay, well, we can't have this happen, and they pump like billions and billions of Canadian dollars of investment into the oil industry, or like trying to help the oil industry. That's gonna have an effect on dollar CAD, but it's not a natural correlation. It's something that the government has done, right? That's why trends change, and that's why the fashion of these correlations change. It's not because it's the market forces. It's basically just just, you know, some bright spark somewhere has an idea to print some money or save a sector or bail out a bank or, you know what I mean? Something like that. That's all it is, really.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, but in this podcast, obviously, the good thing to do would just be to bring this back to basics a little bit and talk about just general correlations, especially where we are now.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think you know, how have you been finding your, you know, your kind of trading, and how has it kind of affected you yourself, Oshin?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think I can still see on the charts how I might be watching a couple of particular markets that day that are on my watch list, and suddenly you'll find that you get a similar setup across a lot of different correlated markets.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how it can still be tempting, if you're not managing your risk properly, to want to do a little trade on sort of all of them. So I find that that's something that I will think about, and it's something that everybody who starts to trade will go through. That's that process of making that mistake of trying to take all those yen pairs or whatever it is, and then it all backfiring and they're all losing.
Yeah, and like when we were on the retreat in Rome, and we saw like oil move with I think it was with natural gas at the same time or something, so the energy sector was doing quite well. Again, it's like one of those things where, oh look, it feels like too good to be true that like all of these trades could be coming in at once, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is, yeah, you're right, it is really, at the end of the day, it might be too good to be true, but you know, you do have to do the sensible thing and manage your risk. You know, what's the point of taking, you know, a Shell long, a BP long, an Exxon, you know, Exxon Mobil long, you know, when, to be honest, if they all turn around in one go, you're going to lose all of that money on all three trades, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So, no, and it makes sort of complete sense when you put it that way. It's just, yeah, in the moment, we a lot of beginners have to be careful with that.
Yeah, and then going back to like the markets of where they are now, I think it is really, really tricky with the strong dollar. I think it's so strong against like euro dollar falling, GBP USD falling, you know, dollar yen moving up. You know, I find FX, you know, in particular, like the fact that they're all moving together is so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah,
have you taken many trades on these huge trends?
You know, I've taken some, a lot of these indices trends. I've been trading them a lot. But again, sort of being very careful to not take too many across all of the indices. Maybe most days just sort of sticking to one. And if a trade is completed on one, but there's a new setup on another one and it's valid, then why not? But not taking the exact same setup across all these different markets at the same time.
And you know what, that's actually even another way we can look at correlations, is like, you know, not correlating your setups, not having the same setups across the board, like trading different setups. That's also a different type of correlation. It's not market correlation, is it? It's strategy correlation.
Yeah, definitely.
This is such a broad subject, I suppose, like, you know, you probably need another bloody podcast to go into that as well, doesn't it? Yeah, but I'm quite flexible, especially when it comes to the indices. I mean, you've got to learn to be. I mean, they were long for so long, and you know, now they've kind of turned around. I think it did feel like that, those big short days, you know, it sometimes when you're in them, it does feel too good to be true because they move so fast, you know. So I did, there was one day where I had a short on the Dow and I had a short on euro dollar, and they were both moving together so fast, you know, selling off so fast. And you know, you do sit there and think, you know, well, they are moving together, they are moving so fast. But I think, you know, managing the risk at the end of the day, that's the key thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then just in general, I think I'm not 100% sure that many of the people who listen to the podcast will know your time frame. So what time frames do you trade, Oshin?
Well, I tend to be mostly a day trader. So from the 5 minutes to the hour usually, with daily bias. But also I like to swing trade as well. So I really enjoy doing these stock trades that you do in your swing sessions. I really enjoy them just because then you've got this stuff, these trades going on in the background, making you a bit of money that you don't even have to think about. They're just sort of there working themselves out.
Yeah, definitely. So you got the patience.
It's something that took a while to develop. It didn't come too naturally. I think I just wanted to fiddle with them all the time. But actually, what I did was I started to separate the swing trades into a different account, and
Nice.
then I could just put them on in that account, and then I wouldn't have to open them until I see maybe something else setting up that I want to enter, and then I can sort of see, and some of them will have won and some of them will have lost, but overall it's nice to that they're making a bit of profit on the side.
Yeah, it's true. And I did that with when I went through Dan's day trading strategy, and I opened a separate account just to test that and give that a go. And I think it makes things a bit cleaner, like your account's not so messy. I think maybe that's a bit pedantic, but it does make a difference, doesn't it?
No, yeah, I know what you mean, because I've got like, because if you have it all in the same account, then on the charts that you're looking to day trade, you've got your swing trade showing, and it can, you just got to make sure that that doesn't influence you, because you might have a swing trade long, but if you've got a valid setup for day trading to go short, you don't want the fact that you've got a long swing trade going on at the same time to maybe influence you out of that valid trade.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And when it coming back to market correlations as well, is that sometimes, like, if I have a long-term swing trade on a market or a sector that I'm interested in, it doesn't mean that I can't take a little day trade short in the opposite direction as well, actually. You reminded me talking about that. So like if I am long BP or something like that, or Shell, and just there's a good short setup on oil, but it's for a day trade. Just know what you're doing. It's not a bad thing if that is what you want to do, but just know your target, know what you're trying to do with that particular strategy. Don't confuse yourself, don't mix things up too often. At the beginning, if you're a beginner, I would say just test one strategy and do it like religiously. But if you are a seasoned trader and you've been trading for a number of years, you'll know that that's okay to do as well. Like on a 5 minute chart, it's not going to make a difference to a weekly chart. You know what I mean?
No, of course, it's just all about getting those rules clear in your head, and because you can, like you said, you can have those sort of big swing trades going on, and you can have some day trades in the opposite direction, and both will win potentially. So
Definitely.
there's, no problem with if you know exactly where your parameters are of doing that.
Yeah, 100%. And it's just that there are so many ways to make money in the markets, aren't there? You just got to find the right strategy that works for you.
Well, thanks so much, Raj, for talking us through all of this. I think maybe it would just be good to finish with just like, have you got any tip about correlation that you think, like the one thing that maybe a new trader listening to this should take away?
Yeah, I think what I used to do at the beginning, like I'd probably say in my first 3 years of trading, 2 years of trading, and you remember I wasn't lucky enough to have trading college when I started, so this could be a bit of a shortcut for you guys. But at the start of each trading day, and then also at the start of each trading week, and at the start of each trading month, I used to take a screenshot of my watch list. So and I used to order them like best performing, worst performing. So then that was such an easy way to work out which markets were moving up and down together. So it doesn't have to be a long process. You just go see, okay, well, this month all of the energy sector has been performing well, or all of the automotive sector, or all of the pharmaceuticals, you know what I mean? And that was just such a quick and easy way of doing it. Just take a picture of it at the start of every month, and then you get to see which markets are performing best and which ones are performing the worst, and you'll start to understand the correlations of why.
No, that's that's a brilliant tip, something that we can all sort of take away and learn from.
Yeah, and it takes seconds. It literally is just a screenshot on your laptop or on your phone or whatever. It literally takes seconds, so it's a nice, easy thing to do.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Raj. And I hope you've all enjoyed listening to the episode of this podcast.
No, thanks. I'll speak to you soon, Austin. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you'd like any more information, please visit tradingcollege.co.uk. We have lots going on there. We have loads of free events and lots of places for you to look for any information you could possibly need about your trading journey.